Okay, well, there's a big stack of questions. So I guess my other comments will go by the wayside, which is just great. I'd a lot rather have your questions. I tell you right now, there are way too many for me to get to. So I haven't changed the order. I looked at the first few of them, but I didn't change the order at all. I'm just going to take them as they were given to me. And we'll go until about 5 till 11, something like that, and then we'll finish up our service. And I'll keep these at some point in the future. We'll incorporate them back in. I don't have your names to follow up, you know, directly with who wrote what, but enough of that. Let's start with them. When is the pastor's sabbatical, and what are my plans for renewal? So in our tradition, a sabbatical takes place after a pastor has been at a church for 5 years, and you receive 3 months sabbatical, plus I have a month's vacation that I'll take at that same time. So this is coming up for all of us. Next year, I'll leave around Easter, the beginning of April, and be gone April, May, June, and July. And Lisa and I, we just recently have come up with a tentative idea that we would like to travel to Vietnam. And we're really looking very seriously at that. For a lot of reasons, the teacher Thich Nhat Hanh has impacted both of us a great deal. Lisa's formally moving forward in the process. She is an aspirant, which means that she'll become a recognized leader in that tradition at some point in the future. So, and it's of great interest to me to look at the connections between Christianity and Buddhism. And Vietnam would be a great place to do that. So we'll do that for about 3 weeks, probably spend a month in Portland, Oregon, a month at some place in the boonies somewhere that we haven't decided, and then have a couple of weeks back home when we return. And hopefully that will renew me. Yes. Okay. There's two questions on here, but I'm just going to take one from each so we can get to more. What do I think about Christians owning guns? <laughs> 30 seconds or less. It's a good question. I am a pacifist, which means that I don't believe in a violent act that would hurt another person, a willing violent act that would hurt another person. That's my personal belief. I also know other Christians who faithfully have different views. For example, I'll give you one that comes to mind. A transgender friend of mine, she feels like she always wants to have, she carries a gun in her purse, and she feels that for her protection, she needs that. And so I respect that's something that she feels she needs to be safe. So I understand that different people have different views on that. I myself won't own a gun, but I don't condemn another who does, who uses it responsibly, and who obtains it legally, who uses it responsibly. I respect that. How do progressive Christians replicate the quiet time or personal Bible study of our youth? Are there progressive study guides? You know, quiet time of personal study and renewal and devotion, in my mind, that's no different for progressive Christians than it is any religious practice. I mean, people of mainstream religions, that daily, regular practice and immersion in what you believe and how it impacts your life, and I think that's very important. So there are so many devotions, guides within the progressive Christian tradition. If you're looking for that, I'll refer you to two places. One is progressivechristianity.org, which is a collection of more resources than you can imagine. You can Google any topic and find, you know, worship liturgies about it, sermons about it, articles, study guides. They also have created what's called the 8 points of progressive Christianity, kind of the key areas of how they articulate what it means to be a progressive Christian. Sometimes people think being a progressive Christian is just being open and welcoming to gay and lesbian people. That is the tip of the iceberg. It has so many more ramifications, including things like a true interfaith understanding, the idea that Jesus is the path for Christians, but there are other paths that lead to God in all mainstream religions. That is one, a strong interfaith affirmation. So there are several. That's just an example. The purpose of Jesus' life, like, did Jesus come to die on the cross for our sin, or was there another purpose in his life or another meaning that we take from his life? All of those kinds of things are included in progressive Christian theology, and you can learn a lot more about it by going to progressivechristianity.org. There's one other spot that actually it's a rabbi who has a website called, he's Rabbi Brian. Rabbi Brian, and he has a whole website called Religion Outside of the Box that he is fantastic. He has a 10-day spiritual fitness inventory, like 2-minute exercises that you just go through that are really practical, that's just wonderful. So if you Google Rabbi Brian, he'll come up. Okay, dun, 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 dun. Your view or the UCC view of Christ's death and atonement. Oh, there it is. Okay. Well, the UCC view is hard to say because UCC is what we're a non-creedal tradition, which means that you don't have to believe a certain set of things to be UCC. We believe that the diversity of belief makes the church better, that we covenant together not to agree on everything, but to be a church, to figure out what it means to live in loving community and disagree about some things. So I'm going to share with you what I believe about Christ's death and atonement, with the understanding that it is my view, and I don't expect you don't have to agree with me on it. I believe that Jesus provides us with a model for what God in the flesh, what the incarnation looks like. That Jesus lived in ways that were where he stood up for the disenfranchised. He reached across boundaries to make sure everyone knew that they were included in the umbrella of God's love and creation. So those are, and he took a principled stance against that to the point that he was executed. So I believe, for me, the purpose of Jesus' life, or the meaning that I find in it, is a model for God in the flesh, a model that not that Jesus shows us can happen. So in other words, a model that we can all follow. I don't believe that Jesus' life was something that another human being could never replicate. I think that theoretically we can all be God in the flesh, and that was the point of the incarnation, was to show us that it can happen, not that he's the only one who can. And particularly during these times when many of us are resisting powers of oppression in our own country, Jesus stood for that, and he gave his life for that. He paid the ultimate price. That, to me, is what Jesus' sacrifice was. It was not about bearing the sin of humanity on the cross once and for all. Okay, should a progressive Christian be concerned at finding himself less centered on Jesus each year, or can one be a progressive Christian without caring about Jesus? That is such a great question. I mean, these are all really good questions. My sense of it, I mean, this is what I project on Jesus. Like, if everybody treated each other with kindness and respect and compassion, I don't think Jesus would care that he be remembered uniquely. I mean, I think Jesus was always pointing us toward something, pointing us toward God, pointing us toward love. So I find in my Christian walk that that it's really powerful to go deeper within one's tradition. So to me, the person of Jesus, as I grow in my progressive faith, that person of Jesus becomes more rich, not less. That's my own experience. Because I think sometimes, particularly people who have been damaged by the church, who have had hurtful experiences of judgment or shaming or whatever through the church, people think, I need to give up Christianity because that's what Christianity is and I don't want any part of that. I don't think that's a... I think that is a distortion of Christianity, the judgment and the shame part. So I think that we grow by putting down roots, deep roots in our own tradition and going deeper. So, in short, my response to that question is, if your earnest searching takes you away from the prominence of Jesus, let it go where it leads you, but don't feel like you have to give up the prominence of Jesus, because you can really have a very centered, engaged spirituality in Christianity, just as you can other mainstream traditions. So I don't want people to give up on the depth and the wealth of Christianity and resign it to fundamentalists. Sorry, somebody say fundamentalists. Okay. I shouldn't have said that part. What is a progressive view of intercessory prayer? Isn't God already doing everything God can do? Fantastic questions. Holy cow. You know, I would tell you the absolute truth. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there are certain things I believe about prayer. I think that prayer signifies my ability or my willingness to be at work with God in the world, you know. And prayer is my pastoral response to the pain I see around me. So I'm not minimizing the importance of prayer in any way. But I do reject the idea that God will change God's mind about doing this or that because I pray or because I don't pray. And I reject the idea that God... I'm suspicious of the idea, let's say that God intervenes in that way in our world. That this person, you know, sometimes I hear people, oh, you know, there was a car accident and the car right in front of me got hammered and I didn't, and it was a miracle. That was God. And I think, was that God for that person right in front of you? You know, I find that way of thinking problematic. But I do, like when we pray our prayers in community on Sunday morning, I think that's a really important part of staying in touch with each other about what's going on in our lives and of bringing that before God as a symbol of seeking peace and sharing burdens. So intercessory prayer in the context of here, that's why it needs to keep going, you know. But I don't think God is a Santa Claus who grants this and grants that, depending on what we pray or don't pray. I know. Wouldn't that be nice? What was the most exciting, empowering, energizing idea you encountered at the Embrace Conference in Portland? I went to a progressive Christianity conference in Portland a few months ago that really impacted me. Now, it's hard for me to say the most, but I'll tell you one. Matthew Fox, a great theologian, he was a priest. He's from Wisconsin. He was a priest who, because of his theology, was sort of kicked out of the Catholic Church. Kathy, would you say that's fair enough? Okay. Kathy's our former nun, so all things Catholic, I ask Kathy. One of his books, for example, that he's sort of known for, his first big book, was called Original Blessing, and it was kind of to refute the idea of original sin, saying that God created humanity, and that the blessing is what is original to humanity, not the sin. So what he said, he is really at his wit's end with what he calls Christians in name only. He says CINO. He uses an acronym, CINO. And he seems to me at a sort of a post-Christian place. And he said that what he doubts the efficacy of Christianity to respond to our world today. I think he doubts that. And his big thing is creation spirituality. Creation is just, you know, he thinks of God as artist, poet, creator. And he said, Lisa, maybe you can refresh my memory if I'm wrong about this, but he ended his thing saying that the next big thing he wants to do is just have an organization, a religion, not a religion, he didn't use that word, but where the one thing to be a member is that you vow to protect creation however you can within your ability. I mean, he considers environmental sustainability and ecological issues. He says, you know, the earth, just with what's happening to the earth with climate change and, you know, so many things that impact that, he thinks that there is no more central tenet to being centered in God than caring for the earth right now. And he said it in such a way that just cuts away all of the... It was just a very clear idea. What would happen if every single person did that one thing? How would it impact reality, and how would it bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? How are we doing? Oh, one more. If Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins, then why and what was it about? Is sex heavenly? Holy cow. That's a good one to end on. Would you mind? I didn't want to keep track of those, make sure. Okay, is sex heavenly? Yes. Yes. As I have grown in my ministry, I think the idea of redeeming human sexuality has become very central to who I am and what I feel I need to do, because there is a tremendous amount of sexual repression that is just a part of our society that has led to so many harmful things, to sex addiction, to sexual predators, to unhealthy sexual practice, to shame, a fear of sexuality is at the root of condemnation of gays and lesbians. It's about sex on some level, not about same sex. It's just discomfort with sex, period. So you notice I keep saying the word sex, because I think there is a stigma around certain words. People feel all weird when you say words like sex or penis or vagina, or I could go on and on, but I won't. I think that sexuality is a gift from God, and that it is a beautiful thing and a heavenly thing, and that we need to talk about it in order that our children grow up understanding the gift of it, so that they can express it in ways that are mutual and healthy and wholesome and life-affirming. That is our youth this past spring went through a sexuality, spirituality and sexuality class that I think was fantastic. It was phenomenal, led by Heather Goolsby, our youth leader, as well as Celeste Holbrook, who is a sex therapist here in Fort Worth. She's come and talked to the congregation before. And I think we need to be talking about sex, and we need to be comfortable with it in order for it to be healthy, and we don't talk about it enough. Okay? Time out. I'll figure out a way to get to the rest of them, and Dean's going to keep them for me and put them on my desk. Thank you very much for your questions. I hope I did okay. It was not easy. All right. Yeah.